Good morning and welcome to Toast and Coffee. Well, we can still see a little bit of green peeking out through that white stuff and through that snow, and I think that might have some symbolic value to us, you know, with the green still looking out and still looking upward. And of course, everybody's very happy in Ryderville because of this weekend and the win that we've had. Also, in terms of winning, the Regina Food Bank is to be congratulated for their campaign. We have won, apparently, this year, so we are the top city for collecting. So congratulations to the city of Regina, as well as to the food bank, for reaching down deep and helping those in need. This morning, we have Ed Willett with us, and Ed's going to talk to us about Regina Lyric Musical Theater. And, of course, as time goes by, and, of course, to me, that brings up ideas and thoughts of the war years, of the 1940s and that kind of music. Am I wrong or am I close?
The music is from that era, but the show is set in the present day.
Okay.
It's the subtitle is A Love Story with Music and Ghosts, and it's a show that I wrote inspired by the old sheet music that's in the house that we live in. My wife's grandparents, Sam and Nancy Goodfellow, were very involved with the arts in Regina, and her grandmother in particular liked music. And the story goes she could have had a career as an opera singer back in England if she'd stayed there when she was a girl. And she liked to go down and buy the latest sheet music from Hatton's and would play it and sing through it with her friend Helen Jolly, who was one of the nurses, head nurses at the Regina General Hospital. So we had all this sheet music in the house from that era, and I decided to build a show around it. But the show is not actually set in that era. That's just where the music is from.
Okay. Well, at any rate, but we get to listen to that music, that wonderful old music, and I, you know, I quite like it. So, again, the music, but the acting as well. And, of course, you know, as you said, it's a musical. Where is this going to be held, Ed?
It'll be at the Shumiatra Theater in the McKenzie Art Gallery, November 7th to 10th.
And what is the cost?
It's $25 for adults and $15 for students, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Now, when I think of the Regina Lyric Musical Theater, I'm referring to a few years back, but I envision always lots of costuming.
Well, yes, they're full stage shows. Now, this one is a play set in the modern era, but the ghost component comes from flashbacks and actual ghosts,
right,
who will be wearing, in the flashback segment, it'll be set in the 40s and 50s. So we'll get some of that costuming going on. In the present day, it's set right here in Regina, and it's about a nightclub entertainer named Johnny Brennan, who's inherited his great-aunt Dorothy's house in Regina. Doesn't know why. He only ever met her once. And he comes back, and he finds all this music. He comes back with his manager, who's from Regina, and his piano player. And they decide to make a new act, and that gives us an excuse to play through the songs. And then there's love stories that play out between the manager and the nightclub singer, and then the piano player and the real estate lady who comes in to sell the house. And then the ghosts also have their own love story, because it's also about Great Aunt Dorothy and how she lost the love of her life way back when, because he went away and never came back and had a career as a musician. But the ghosts get back together, too. So we have three happy endings to love stories.
Well, you know, you're very romantic, I must say. Very romantic ideas in terms of everything turning out happily ever after. But many musicals are like that.
Yes, and in a way it's a classic musical. I'd call it a play with music as opposed to a musical. But it's kind of a classical musical structure where you have the main romantic couple, and then you have the secondary comic couple. And in this case, I threw in one more couple just for good measure.
Well, that's
the ghost couple. That's not quite as traditional. But
so, Ed, when you know, you do a lot of writing, and you're a prolific writer, and you've written, I can remember some children's stories, but you've written other things as well. I know that you've written some nonfiction as well, have you not?
I've written something in the neighborhood of 50 books at this point, both nonfiction and fiction. Novel-wise, I'm up to, I don't know, 10, 12, something
right,
like that.
Right.
So, yeah, I write a lot of both kinds. And I've done some playwriting, not a lot, but Weyburn just did a play of mine this summer for their centennial for the city called Circle the Crops, which was
okay.
A science fiction story set in rural
right.
Saskatchewan, comedy. And then so this one coming up. So I enjoy all sorts of writing.
People will tell you when they write that you should be writing about what you know. Okay?
I hate that.
You hate that. Okay. I'm just curious, you know, because we hear all these platitudes and that sort of thing. And I don't think that there's a one-size-fits-all for everyone, you know, of course. But so that's why I wanted your response.
Well, being as a primarily a science fiction and fantasy writer, write what you know makes no sense to me whatsoever. It's more write what you can learn about and write what you can believably make up.
Right.
That's how I would put it. Writing is an exercise in the imagination, and you want it to be grounded in reality, even if it's set in some far future world.
But it's the idea that it should be believable in terms of itself.
Exactly.
You know.
And in this story, I don't believe in ghosts, but I wanted ghosts in my story, so we have ghosts.
All right. And lots of people do believe in ghosts, so there are people who like that touch of the supernatural, or the idea that somewhere, somehow, things don't get left the way they do in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
certainly a theme of this particular play.
Right, right. Okay. So again, people are welcome to come. Do you want to repeat the dates for us?
Yes, it's November 7th to 10th at the Shumiatra Theater in the McKenzie Art Gallery. $25 for adults, $15 for children students. And tickets are available at Bach and Beyond in the Golden Mile Center, or online at reginalyric.com.
So how large of a cast do you have?
There are 8.
Okay.
Some well-known, really well-known singers, perhaps, if you follow that. Several former Do It With Class, mm-hmm. Young People's Theater kids. We have Jessica Schur and Jamie Limerick and Garrett Woods and Aaron Johansson. They've all had some Do It With Class experience. They're all very, very good singers. Dick Carr is coming back on the stage. He's been a fixture for a long time. He's my oldest cast member.
Okay.
Norberg, who's very well known through little theater circles. And then we have Ben Redant, who's the music director, piano player. And I guess that's the complete cast. So.
All right. Okay. When you're writing a play, okay, do you find, I know there's differences, of course, but what do you find the major difference for writing a play as opposed to writing a novel or a short story?
Well, in a play, everything has to be carried by the dialogue and the action. You don't get to do any exposition. Mm-hmm. You don't get to do any description. The description is taken care of by the physical presence on the stage. So it's really that having to keep the story going just through people talking to each other. And you do a lot of dialogue in a novel, but you do other stuff too. And in the play, that's all you got.
Well, there's that, but there's also some visual, but more so, as you say, you know, it's the listening portion and then the dialogue, you know, when you're hearing people.
Primarily the dialogue. And yes, I say that. Now the girl playing, Erin Johansson, who's playing Aunt Dorothy the ghost and in the flashbacks, mm-hmm. spends probably more time on stage than anybody else, and she doesn't say a word.
Okay.
Because she's invisible to the other characters. So she reacts to what's going on. So, it's not entirely dialogue. There is certainly the physical action also carries the story forward.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us, Ed?
Just that I think people will really enjoy it. We ran it yesterday all the way through, and it's going really, really well. I think people will really enjoy it if they come out and take it in.
Okay, we're going to try to listen to some music here. We're not sure here. We haven't operated this for a while. I think we'll just have to forego this for another time.
That's fine.
Okay.
I can
see. There we are. There we are.
Was it playing?
It seems to me I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream, a dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word because I've heard that song before. The lyrics said forevermore, forevermore's a memory. Please have them play it again, and I remember just when I heard that lovely song before. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream, a dream that brought you so close to me. have them play it again. And I'll remember just when I heard that lovely song.
Makes me think I should have a straw bowl hat or something. A little cane.
I just realized I forgot to mention one important cast member, Reese Wagner, who will be singing that song in the show.
Okay.
He plays the nightclub entertainer. So.
I had one other question that I had before, and I wanted to ask it before I go. Who plays the music? Do you have a recording, or do you have some band members playing the big sound?
The centerpiece of the house, of the living room, of the house that this guy's inherited, is a grand piano.
Ah.
And so Tim... Ben Redant, who plays Tim, the piano player, will be playing the piano through. We also have a couple of numbers. Dick Carr accompanies himself on guitar for Stardust, and Reese accompanies himself on guitar for Faraway Places. So we have some guitar, and most of it is Ben playing the piano right there on stage in the context of the scene.
Sounds fantastic. The other question I'd just like to ask you is, would you please repeat the information for people who, you know, got a little taste of the music just now and would just love to come and hear more?
Absolutely. It's As Time Goes By, A Love Story with Music and Ghosts, November 7th to 10th. It'll be at the Shumietra Theater, the McKenzie Art Gallery. Showtimes are 7:30, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There are two matinees on Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets are $25 for adults, $15 for students, available at Bach and Beyond in the Golden Mile Center, cash or check only, or online at reginalyric.com, PayPal, or a credit card.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great day. And now we have Alice Gavronsky, and Alice Gavronsky is no stranger to us, of course, and she is with the Osteoporosis Society, and she's talking again about the sparkling brunch that's coming up.
Good morning.
Good morning, Alice.
Yes, we're having our third annual sparkling brunch, and it's our main fundraiser for our Regina chapter, and it's happening Sunday, November the 3rd at Connexus Arts Center, noon to 3 p.m., tickets are $30 each, and we're pushing corporate tables of 8 for the total price of $230. Anyone who's interested can phone our office at 757-2663. Area code 306-757-2663, or if you can't remember 2663, remember Bone.
Okay.
And we have a great guest speaker. She's coming all the way from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Her name is Dr. Diane Tadio, and her topic is Broken Bones No More. She's been a long-standing volunteer for Osteoporosis Canada, both locally and national, and yeah, she's a champion with osteoporosis care.
Right. Now, you have had the sparkling brunch for about the last 3 years, is that correct?
That's correct. This is our third.
And other than that, you've had the bone china tea and all sorts of things. When we talk about osteoporosis, we tend to think of it as being an older woman's disease. And there are a majority of women who have disease, but it also affects men and it affects younger people as well.
That is very correct. It's at least 1 to 3 in women, and 1 in 5 men will suffer from an osteoporosis fracture during their lifetime. There's actually no single cause for osteoporosis that has yet been identified. And as you mentioned, it can strike at any age for both men and women.
And I think, really simply put, if we talk about this, you know, diet, exercise, sleep, just like Mom used to tell us, play a great big role in helping to either slow down the process of osteoporosis or in order to prevent it from happening.
That's very true. Exercise is very, very important, and it doesn't have to be like extensive exercise. Simple walking every day and some stretching exercises are some of the best forms of keeping your bones as strong as possible. And it's called the silent thief because of the fact you don't know that you've got it until you've been diagnosed. So we strongly recommend that everybody after the age of 50, if they're having some aches and pains, that maybe what they should do is talk to their family doctor and go for a bone density test.
Right. And I think someone explained this to me very simply, and I'm not a medical person, and I don't believe that you are either, but It's the bone marrow itself, and basically it leaches out of the bones and it doesn't stay where it's supposed to, and that's when we get osteoporosis.
That's right. It's a low bone mass, and it's deterioration of the bone tissue.
Right. Okay, and of course, we're, you know, with the Sparkling Brunch, you know, you're going to have a speaker, you're going to have some information there, but you've also got some, you know, some goodies to eat.
And yeah, there's a lovely light lunch, and then we have a beautiful selection of silent auction that people can walk around and put their silent bid towards, and we have some really nice, we've got some art, and we've got all a real good variety of items on our silent auction table.
Right, exactly. And again, if people want tickets ahead of time, or do they buy them at the door?
They can't buy them at the door, because, okay, of course, we need to know numbers to give to to Conexus. So they phone the office and leave a voice message, because our office is only open a certain number of days. So I'll repeat the number. It's area code 306-757-2663. And it's $30 for each person, and a corporate table of eight for $230.
All right. And I imagine that you do have people who are corporate members who come back year after year.
Yes, we do. We've got some very great corporate members that come back every year. And the reason we have it on Sunday, November the 2nd, is because Osteoporosis Month is November. Mm-hmm. And so we always have it the first Sunday of the month, just to identify that November is Osteoporosis Month. And we'll be having there, this year, it's Stand Tall Canada, and the National Office is talking about their theme about Capture the Fracture, and talking about measuring, and we will have one of our measuring sticks there for people to measure, because that's become, if you measure your height, everyone over age 50 should have a height measurement annually, just to see if you're losing, if you happen to be losing your height, like it's a possibility that you maybe had a fracture in your spine, and you could not even know that. So we'll be having that also at our Sparkling Brunch for those who are interested to have themselves measured.
And I imagine there's other, if you like, helpful household hints and sorts of information available to people at the Sparkling Brunch about osteoporosis and how to care for yourself and what to look for in terms of symptoms and how to help be very preventative as well. I think that that's one of the big thing with our medicine, is that we need to be more proactive and you know, be looking at making sure that our young people are being well fed and taken care of. You know, we have some young people here, and you know, I know that they are far well more informed about nutrition, etc., than I think as a generality our age group, but I guess that's what I would mean, our age group would.
I have to agree, it's not just the only simple nutrition you need.
No,
you need everything, like it's a whole package deal, and we will have information there. And if anyone who can't make it to our third annual Sparkling Brunch, possibly what they could do is send their check of $30 for a donation and market Regina chapter, and then they'll get a tax receipt. Also, if they're really into wanting lots of great information, they should go on our website. It's our national website, www.osteoporosis.ca, and there's just mega stuff there. There's calcium counter charts. There's everything you can imagine. They do now have a new thing that if you've got all the regular correct information on your computer, you can even go online and watch some of the, and this is something quite new. I haven't done it yet, but you can actually get online an actual class that, say, is happening maybe
right
in Toronto.
Okay. Okay, so there's lots of information available, and again, people just need to get a hold of the Osteoporosis Society. And would you just give us again the information? Because it seems to me, I don't know about you, but when I'm listening to the radio or watching TV, and all of a sudden they say, oh, this is the number to call, or this is the email address, and I think, oh my God, I can't remember it, and where's my pen?
I agree.
Get your pen, folks.
Okay, so for tickets, it's $30. And phone 306-757-2663 and leave a message. And I believe they'll take your credit card number over the phone. And yes, and we'll just have a wonderful time with having a few displays, and our own office will have a nice display of information.
Well, Ellis, I think if you are an example of people who look after themselves and take care of others, you've gotten better over the years.
Thank you.
And you're looking just fantastic. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jeannie.
You take care. It's Jeannie Alexander with Toast and Coffee, and right now we have our next guests, and our next guests are two young people from the University of Regina, and they're involved with a volunteer trade fair, and of course very exciting, and I'm really glad to welcome Conrad Hewitt back, and I even remembered him, and I think it's been about maybe 4 years.
Well,
Not quite four. Okay, well, you need to get my age, you know. They all run together, so...
25?
Yeah, 25. Thank you very much. Turn that around and then some. But anyhow, thank you so much, Conrad. And of course, we're going to welcome Natalia Smith as well. And it's nice to have both of you. And each of you are going to talk to me a little bit about the Volunteer Trade Fair. First of all, who wants to tell me about what is the Volunteer Trade Fair?
All right. Well, every year, the City of Regina Youth Advisory Committee holds a youth forum to engage young people in the community about issues and policies that affect them. And at the same time, the University of Regina every year puts on a volunteer fair. Now, it just so happened that the theme for the Youth Advisory Committee's forum this year was volunteerism, so we're very happy to be partnering with the University of Regina Career Center this year. This Wednesday, October 23rd, from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock, in Gym 3 at the Kinesiology Center at the University of Regina, we're holding Eyes Open, Involve, Inform, and Pact. And it's going to be a great opportunity for young people to come out. There'll be a trade show set up of volunteer organizations spanning a huge variety of different categories from all over the city. People can, not just young people, anybody who's interested in getting involved with a volunteer organization can come out and get some good information about opportunities within the city.
Okay. So, again, it's a volunteer fair. And I know that when I first moved to the city, I thought, well, I'd like to volunteer somewhere. And I thought, well, where do I go? What, you know, who wants volunteers? What kinds of volunteers do they want? And I was very fortunate in that at that time there was a clearinghouse of volunteer names. And, you know, this was before, I guess, computer, they were in use, but not in terms of generally the way they are. You know, everyone has them. And I thought, well, I need to find out about this. And I wish that at that time I would have had the opportunity to attend a volunteer fair like you're speaking about. Because you're not only talking to younger people, you're talking to the general public and saying, come out, have a look at the various volunteer opportunities that there are in the city. And talk to the people that are involved and find out what sorts of volunteer opportunities, because we know very well that at one time of your life, maybe you want to volunteer every Friday from 7 till 9, but maybe this time you just want to volunteer once, you know, and you just want to, or, you know, there are so many ways and times that we can volunteer, and I think we forget that. We think, oh, I don't have time to volunteer. I want your response to that, each of you. I'm going to start. That's the hard question for you, Natalia. Sorry.
Well, actually, it's funny because I moved to Regina 4 years ago, and the first thing I was looking into was where to start volunteering, and I didn't really know where to start looking, and that's why I'm so excited about doing this fair this year, because I want to get as many people as we can out to see what opportunities they have for volunteering. And we have so many organizations too that are looking for volunteers that most people don't know that there are, like, these options that are out there. A lot of the ones that are out there, anything from like Salvation Army, Dress for Success Regina, the City of Regina is always looking for more volunteers as well. Big Brothers of Regina, so being a mentor for someone younger. Regina Food Bank, yeah, a lot of different options on stuff.
I was just going to talk to you about Big Brothers a little bit. There's even the idea of going into the school. You don't even have to take and be the big brother that takes or a big sister that takes the person out every so often or whatever. You can go right into the school and you can be a big brother and you can help people to learn a little bit better.
Yeah, there's even like tutoring and stuff like that that's available that you can go for.
And that's only one. That's just one facet of
it. Oh, yeah.
That's one organization that we've just happened to pick out. Also with the City of Regina, you know, a lot of volunteer opportunities in terms of welcoming people to the city and hosting and ambassadors and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Huge, huge opportunities for that. This is the place to go when you're looking for something like that. Another one that I'm for sure interested is in Regina Little Theater. That's mm-hmm. something that I've been looking to. I was just on the website actually yesterday, and they have so many options for volunteering there. So I think that will be another big hit at this volunteer fair.
Okay, so when people come to display, if you like, display there and present their particular organization, how much does it cost them per table?
It's absolutely and entirely free for all organizations to register and for anyone to come look at the booths. We don't charge anybody anything. It's all just to spread good information, and all you have to do is contact the University of Regina Career Center, and they'll set you up right away.
And where do you house this? I mean, you repeat this information, please.
This is we're putting it on in Gym 3, which is the large gym at the Center for Kinesiology and Health Studies at the University of Regina. This is where typically the Cougar basketball games are and stuff. And it's a really excellent facility. It's huge. We've got over 80 organizations coming, so it's got to be big. Saskatchewan Rough Riders CEO Jim Hobson is coming to be the keynote speaker. So we're hoping that a big facility makes for a lot of attendees.
Right. And again, you know, you've got lots of people coming, and that's what you'd hope. I want to come back to a question for both of you, because I'm sure that Conrad does as well. And I, you know, having had him on the program, I know he does. Talking about volunteering, you said, when I first moved to the city, I was looking for volunteer opportunities. Now, you're a young person.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to volunteer somewhere?
Well, from Saskatoon, I volunteered in a lot of different places, and I just learned a lot. You become so involved in the community. It's so great for networking. It's fantastic for building a resume. I just had, and I feel like that puts a lot of people ahead, is just having volunteering, because it shows that you like to do stuff that you actually enjoy, opposed to a job. You know, you do the job, but then mm-hmm. volunteering is something you just put extra into it. It's a really good way to just put yourself out there, again, into the community. That's why I volunteer. That's why I love to volunteer, honestly.
Okay, I'm going to come back to my question again. As I said, you're a young person, and you told me that you volunteered in Saskatoon, mm-hmm. so you obviously started fairly young. Tell me, when did you start volunteering? Was it your own initiative? Was it an organization that you belonged to? Was it your parents? What got you on the volunteer trail, if you like?
It was probably my parents that started me off. They kind of pushed me and my sisters into volunteering. At the time, we didn't really know it was volunteering. We were very young, probably started at 8 or 9.
Okay, we're going to return after the break. We're going to continue speaking with both Conrad and Natalia, and we're also going to have Ken Mitchell join us. And Ken is, of course, one of our favorite cowboy poets, and he's going to be with us as well. But right now we have a break, and we have a word for those people who helped keep us on the air. Welcome back to Toast and Coffee. It's Jeannie Alexander, and we're continuing our interview with two university students from the University of Regina, and you are, of course, telling us about the volunteer opportunities that you're going to find out about at the volunteer fair, and you, of course, belong to the Youth Advisory Committee. So thank you very much for being with us today, both Conrad Hewitt and Natalia Smith. And again, Natalia was giving us a good rundown as to why she was a volunteer and how she first became one. We'd like to give you the same opportunity, Conrad.
Why do I volunteer? At first, my response is, why? How could I not? I was brought up with volunteering very much being a way of life. My mother, especially, I think push would be an understatement. She shoved me into positions of volunteering, and especially with my church early on, and sometimes against my will, but she knew, and I know now that it was an incredibly rewarding experience, and it continues to be. There exists a phenomenon in the world. You can call it karma, call it what you will, but when you put yourself into a volunteer position and you give yourself freely to an organization or to your community, those benefits tend to find their way back to you, so one way or another. And I've seen that tenfold in my brief experience with volunteering, but I'm looking forward to experiencing it even more.
Right. Well, I think our next guest, Ken Mitchell, will agree with you. Ken has done a lot of volunteering, in his lifetime as well, and I know that Ken has seen, as have I, because, we're closer in the same age than we are to you people, but we've seen so much in Saskatchewan in terms of resources, facilities, and just a betterment of everybody's way of life because of volunteering. Right, Ken?
Yes, it's a volunteering province. It's a community center of community involvement.
Right.
Saskatchewan, it's why I continue to live here and enjoy it so
much. Right. Well, we're going to be talking with you right away, Ken, but I want to thank both Natalia and Conrad for being with us. And again, one last time, let's hear about where the volunteer fair is and who you want to have there and how much it costs.
All right. Well, the volunteer fair is this Wednesday, October 23rd, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 in the afternoon at the Big Gym at the Kinesiology Center at the University of Regina. Cost to registered organizations and attendees is absolutely and totally free. Jim Hobson, CEO of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, will be keynote speaking at 11 o'clock, and we certainly invite people of all ages, all backgrounds, to come out and learn about the volunteer opportunities available in our community.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Natalia.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. And now we have with us, we have Ken Mitchell, and Ken Mitchell, of course, is no stranger to our midst. He's a cowboy poet, he's a professor, he's a writer, he's an entrepreneur. I don't know what else to tell people about you, Ken. Maybe you could tell them some more.
I could go on for hours about various careers I've had in my life. I'm no longer a professor, incidentally.
I've retired
from that position. But I still like working with the university, and I kind of get involved in this as a volunteer with this College Avenue development program,
right,
which has been initiated. I'm looking forward to do a lot of work on that, getting it underway, because I believe in that project. I think that the College Avenue campus is one of the most beautiful things in Regina, beautiful landscapes on College Avenue there. Not only has to be preserved for architectural and heritage reasons, but it should be, in my opinion, a kind of a front line for the entrance to the university, and that's especially where our arts and community involvement programs are going to take place.
Right. There are still people around who attended the old Teachers College and the drama department there, and of course, there's Dark Hall. And when you talk about redevelopment, I'm just going to ask you, if you don't mind, for a couple of minutes here, when you're talking about the College Avenue redevelopment, are you talking about refurbishing the inside, and improving the electrical, etc.?
Yeah, that's part of it. It's just a structural regeneration, you might say. The principal part of this, I think, is going to be the restoration, or let's say recovery of Dark Hall as a first-rate performance space. It's always been one of my favorite places to work in.
Are you going to leave the ghost there?
I don't know. I haven't seen any ghosts there.
Somebody tells me there's supposed to be one.
You can hear them from time to time. But I got a long history with that
right.
space, and I love it. The acoustics in there are phenomenal, for one thing. You don't really need microphones in Dark Hall or a sound system, because the acoustic is so good. And I like to keep that kind of thing operating. I'm very interested in what they want to do with this what do you call it? The new entranceway that's going to be attached to this, and the new building that they're going to create between the old conservatory and Dark Hall. But I have many fond memories of that space, including the old gym, which of course is now gone. But there are a number of options available, I think, to the university and to the city for blessing this space on College Avenue.
Great. Well, that's great. We'll have someone on our program a little later on, and down the road here, and have them talk to us more about that.
Yeah,
and talk about how we as a public can assist, or what can we do?
The public? Well, for one thing, where I'm talking with some of my colleagues formerly involved at the university, of doing fundraisers in that space, or maybe in the conservatory room inside, basically of entertainment fundraisers,
sure.
Just to keep the capital flowing into the operation. That's going to be necessary, and I think we can do that.
Super.
Bring people back into.
Well, speaking of bringing people back, you know, Ken, I've just come back from Saskatoon, and I went to a program there in Vanscoy, and there was Lee Bellows and Ed. Sorry, I forgot his last name now. And
Ed Brown.
Ed Brown, there we go.
Yeah.
And he was there, and they just did a fantastic performance. And they had people so engaged that you could have heard a pin drop. And that's the same with when I've listened to cowboy poetry many places. Everybody is just in awe. They're just enthralled because it's so real. It's so what I would call, although it's not Shakespearean writing, it's so everyman. It is so believable and it's so much a part of our world.
Well, it's Robbie Burns writing, basically.
Yes, exactly.
I call Robbie Burns the first cowboy poet, basically,
okay.
Because he was, it's folk culture, basically,
right, exactly.
You're dealing with, and storytelling in verse and rhyme and meter and music. It's cowboy poetry, like rap poetry in some ways, or hip-hop poetry in some ways, kind of states in this century a return to the spoken word as a means of communicating, and the it's already outmoded the more, let's say, philosophical or personal poetry, literary poetry,
exactly.
Free verse, sometimes called, of the 20th century. I'm not sure it's going to come back into style, but certainly cowboy culture and just that the whole idea of storytelling in verse and rhyme and emphasizing the spoken word, not the read word so much as the spoken word, right, as an art, is kind of in gear. And I just came back from England, and I was touring in different counties of the UK doing cowboy poetry, and I got to say it was... The reception that it got was kind of amazing. It was like you talk about this event in Vanscoy that you were at, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you would just be astonished that you could do this, you know, speak without from a book, but just, poetry and storytelling, essentially,
yes.
In metric and harmony. So I'm kind of committed to it now for the next while. It's kind of sort of what I'm focusing on. And so I plan to continue to go around the province like Lee Bellows and Ed Brown do.
Yes.
Ed's actually from Manitoba.
Yeah, he is from Manitoba, but he's got a beautiful singing voice.
He does. He's
just
a good singer. On top
voice.
Of everything else.
Yes.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's very, very low key. And, you know, he's got those zinger lines, you know, but it's just said with that drawl and that straight face sort of thing. But, you know, but you're just totally in stitches. Yeah. Just fantastic. It was great. You know, you were talking about the spoken word and talking about the resurgence revival, if you like, and you're saying you don't know where it's going to go. I mean, we don't know where anything's going to go in this world, I don't think. But on the other hand, the other thing though is you are going to come on my other program called Words on Air, and we're going to be talking about that spoken word at some point here.
Yeah.
You know?
That whenever you like.
Yes.
It also relates to an event or a project that I'm working on right now.
Right.
Is this Edna Jakes play development, which we hope is going to be going into production or available for public involvement in about 5 or 6 weeks from now. Edna Jakes. Edna Jakes Live, we call it. And basically what we've done is taken the poems of Edna Jakes. Do you know who Edna Jakes is?
That's what I was just going to say to you. Maybe I do. But that's because I'm from the South Country. But, but maybe other people may or may not.
Well, it's relevant to seniors a lot, for
right.
sure. I don't know. Yeah, I assume that you've got a pretty substantial seniors audience here at CJTR. But
I thought you were going to tell me I had a pretty substantial stake in being a senior.
But everybody over the age of 50 knows who Edna Jakes was, because in the 20s, 30s, and 40s in Saskatchewan, Edna Jakes was the poet laureate of the province.
Right.
And she was a pretty simple poet. She wasn't a complicated, not a literary, what I would call a literary
right.
poet.
Right.
But she was a homesteader. She'd grown up on a homestead up near Briarcrest.
Mm-hmm.
And And her autobiography, which I'm using in lots of ways to develop this show about Edna Jakes and her poetry, her autobiography was called Uphill All the Way, and it describes her career of becoming a poet, but also of just dealing with life. They lost their farm, for example, their homestead during mm-hmm. the 30s, right? Like the
like
drought
many
and were just crushed. Their operation, they had to shoot all of their horses, and one of the best parts for stories telling how they had, her brothers had to go out and shoot all of the horses that they had because there was no water anywhere, and they were dying of thirst. But she transcended all that into this amazing poetry, or storytelling in poetry,
yes.
that celebrated the life of the pioneer, the homesteader pioneer, and the farmers and whatnot. And I think, we need more of that in our cultural background. So that's why I want to bring Edna Jakes back to life. And I hope we have, it's good promotion. When it comes, we're going to be doing it at the Artesian on 13th, the little theater there. And we're going to do it as kind of a dinner theater presentation.
Oh, wonderful.
It's going to be a tea, guessing theater, not
okay.
dinner theater probably,
tea
but
theater.
We're going to, it'll be like one of the old group meetings probably in 1945. We'll try and dress it so that it's about like that.
You have to have salmon and egg salad sandwiches.
That's a good idea. Salmon and egg salad sandwiches.
Not together, just salad sandwiches. Salad,
yeah, I know.
Salad, okay.
You need a little variety.
It sounded like we mixed them together. I thought, no. That wasn't a delicacy of the prairies. But, you also, you're talking about having this. So you said that in about approximately 6 weeks we should be looking for
yeah.
information about it. And,
if all goes well. We're mm-hmm. just still trying to nail down the details on this and get the promotion going and so on. But
okay, well, yeah. That sounds great. Now, you brought with you some poetry, and you're going to talk to us a little bit about it, so let's hear what you've got with you.
Well, I'm not sure. I brought along a book here, actually, that has just come out called Let's Forfeit the Son of a Bitch.
Okay.
True Stories from Southern Saskatchewan.
All right.
Have you seen this? Or
no,
come
I have not
this?
Seen it. I haven't seen it
well,
at all.
This is actually an acquaintance of mine, Brian Nagel, who comes
okay.
from Crane Valley
yes.
and Spring Valley. I think his family was
yes.
attached to both those communities, wrote this book of kind of telling about his childhood upbringing in the hills.
Okay.
The dirt hills.
And, of course, you're relatively from that area, although, Cardross was considered to be far away at one time.
Well, it was kind of off-center, you might say. It wasn't at the highest point in the hills.
But anyway, sorry.
Well, I don't usually read. I usually just, recite the work that I do. But I need reference to the book in this case. So I'm going to just say, a little bit from the first chapter.
And then you'll recite to us, won't you?
Yeah, I will, yes. For sure.
Okay, good.
We'll close. It's called Let's Forfoot 'em, the first thing, the first chapter. To say that people in the Crane Valley community were eccentric and their conversations colorful is an understatement. Many of these stories include words specific to the area. For example, when you consume several Budweiser beers and snare a four-year-old wild horse, you've just forfooted the son of a bitch. Now, Leonard Swanson, incidentally, was an uncle of mine
okay.
Through an uncle-in-law of mine. So I know a lot about, in fact, he's a character in many of my poems, Leonard
okay.
Swanson. Anyway. He says, Brian Nagel says, he lived in southern Saskatchewan, about 5 miles north of Crane Valley. Leonard was of Swedish ancestry and was a good example of what a Viking must have looked like. I always imagined him with a horned helmet and a war axe thundering into some unsuspecting village of smaller people just like me. As a young boy, the image was haunting. However, Leonard was afraid of two things, income tax and women. I didn't know what income tax was because we never paid it either, but I did know what women were, and I was not afraid of them one bit. Now, Leonard lived a modest life, desperately trying to stay below the minimum income so he would not have to file an income tax return. That meant that granaries of wheat molded and went to waste, and that cows died of old age, and horses that Leonard owned ran wild on the prairie range. Now, one warm June day, we were sitting in Leonard's house after breakfast, and somehow a plan was hatched to catch some of the horses that ran in the Swanson pastures. The plan required the help of Alex Swanson, Leonard's older and much larger brother. Alex, or Alec, as Leonard called him, was a monster of a man who, if he decided to, could crush 10-year-olds between his thumb and index finger. The power of his hands with cracked and blackened nails was demonstrated at the Crane Valley Lumberyard one day. Picking up a handful of fence staples, he crushed them between his fingers with the ease that one would with a pat of soft butter while uttering, "Look at this cheap shit." I tried doing that once, squeezing a fence staple closed with a large pair of pliers, and had a great deal of difficulty. Alec's downfall was that he was as slow physically as molasses in January. No, on second thought, the molasses would probably win in a long race. I was sure I could outrun him if he were to display any Viking tendencies. I'd carry on with the story of, that's an introduction to Let's Forfeit the Son of a Bitch by Brian Nagel. You got to go out
and
find
this
book.
I think, too, I definitely do. And where can we get it?
Well, I know one place you can get it for sure. That's Post Horizon Books in Moose Jaw.
Okay.
If you can't find, I'm going to try to deposit some at the museum gallery bookstore there.
Cumberland House.
Or people could phone me.
Right. Okay, good. And now, you know, you told us that you'd like to do some reciting. And, of course, that's what cowboy poetry is really about, is the recitation and that presentation of, like you were mentioning, the storytelling aspect.
Yes. And it's never done. If you go to cowboy poetry events, you'd be laughed out of the hall if you read from a book. You got to perform them, basically.
Right.
And it also has to be done in cowboy outfit. Again, you wouldn't be allowed on stage if you weren't wearing a Stetson or that kind of thing. And fortunately, I grew up on a cattle ranch, so I can do that with a smile on my face.
Well, I think too, with some authenticity as well. But again, when you came in today, you didn't have your cowboy hat on, and I thought, gee, I almost didn't recognize you.
Well, cowboys wear different outfits these days too. A lot of them go to ball caps instead of Stetsons as a working thing. So I don't mind doing.
Well, this is just your alter ego. That's okay.
Okay. So, all right. I'm gonna actually take a folk poem that I come across. No author, but like a lot of the cowboy poetry, it goes through generation after generation. It's kind of part of the tradition. Mm-hmm. So it's called The Pig. You haven't heard this before, have you?
No, I haven't.
It was on the 1st of May, a lovely warm spring day, and I was walking down the street with drunken pride, when my knees began to flutter, and I fell into the gutter, and a pig came up and lay down by my side. Well, I was lying in the gutter, thinking thoughts I shouldn't utter, when a lady walking by did sweetly say, "You can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses." And the pig got up and quickly ran away. So that exists in different forms, in different countries even, and but it's kind of a universal, and nobody knows who wrote it. And like a great deal of cowboy poetry, it relies on the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to actually... How much time you got here?
We've got about 5.5 minutes.
Okay, I'll do one. The first cowboy poem, let's say, that I wrote then. So it's personal and whatnot. But I grew up just south of Moose Jaw there in the shadow, you might say, of the Missouri Cato, the hills, the dirt hills that run south across the province, which is, incidentally, a continental divide.
Right.
All the snow on the south side melts to the Gulf of Mexico, and all the snow on the north side goes to the Arctic Ocean, and it's one of the most interesting things we have in the province. However, it's also cattle country. It's a grazing range, basically, and it's still being preserved, as that thing happens. The homesteaders who not tried to plant wheat up there were driven off in no time at all, because it just didn't really work.
Well, some people did plant grain, but there was always cattle. You had to have cattle to survive.
Sure good to see old Hank again. This is called On the Missouri Cato.
Okay.
So, sure good to see old Hank again, waiting with our crew. No, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to start again.
That's all right. You know, Ed Brown did this, and he said, you know what sometimes you have to do is you have to just turn away from your audience, and you just have to take a moment, and you just have to think. Because, you know, when you're reciting something and you're going from memory, you sometimes lose your train of thought.
You know? Yeah, that's
And that's
right.
exactly what happened. But that's okay. We wait.
Sure, good to see old Hank again, riding with our crew on the trail in the Big Cato. Been years since he was through. He left here for the rodeo, then took up Tendon Bar and living the life of a vagabond with a banjo and guitar. But there's heavy lines across his face, and his eyes seem kind of still as though, no, oh God, I've lost it. Sorry about that.
This is okay. We're just going to keep reminding people that they should be attending.
Okay.
The volunteer fair at the University of Regina this Wednesday, the 23rd of October. And now Ken's collected his thoughts and we're set to go again.
Well, I'm going to go with a different poem just in
okay,
case I mess this one up again. It's been a while since I've done it.
That's okay.
Here's a more recent one. It's called Hell in Moose Jaw.
Okay.
The devil in hell, we're told, was chained for 1,000 years and he there remained. But he didn't complain and he didn't moan, but determined he'd start a hell of his own, where he could torture the souls of men without being stuck in a prison pen. So he asked the Lord if he had on hand any scraps left over when he made the land, and the Lord thought hard. The Lord thought long, and he said, well, there is Saskatchewan. So the devil came up and checked it well, and he said, it's too hot even for hell. But in order to get it off its hands, the Lord promised the devil he'd water the lands. So the devil agreed to take it, for he had some water that was of no use, gave him the runs and smelt like the deuce. So the deal was made. The land was given. The Lord went back to his home in heaven, and the devil had all the crap he needed to make a great hell, and he sure succeeded. He brought in mosquitoes and filled the sky, mixed the dust with alkali, scattered sow thistle along the roads and filled the sloughs with hives and toads. The wood tick bites, the hornet stings, the hopper flies by on buzzing wings. The gophers prevail and so do the ants. You want to sit down? You need soles in your pants. The heat in the summer is 110. Too hot for the devil, too hot for men. But it's even worse at 60 below when the brass monkeys freeze and the blizzards blow. It's a perfect place for sinners to dwell. A hell of a place, this Moose Jaw Hell.
Well, I like the idea of there's you need soles for your pants. In other words, you have to have some leather chaps sewn onto your bottom, you know, in order to be able to sit down properly. I want to thank you very much, Ken Mitchell. But again, just reminding people about to be looking for Edna Jake's poetry, and again the poetry that or not the poetry, but the stories that you were reading from by Brian Nagel. And again, the name of the title is.
Let's forfeit the son of a bitch.
Now that forfeit, is that to forfeit, is that four feet or is that forfeit?
That's what it's about. It's both.
Okay.
he never understood what the word meant, I don't think. It's F-O-R-E-F-O-O-T, forfeit
okay.
the son of a bitch.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ken Mitchell, for being with us today. It's been a pleasure as usual. And of course, one of Saskatchewan's well-known cowboy poets.
Yeah.
It's Jeannie Alexander with Toast and Coffee. Please be listening Mondays from 11 till 12 and Thursdays 12 until noon. Thanks for being with us today.